You know, I don't want to sound like a queer or nothing, but I'm really going to miss you guys when the show's over.
Hello, faithful KKFY listeners. My name is Conspiracy 911 Kennedy, a.k.a. Jake's Computer. I just want to testify that the following show is documented. The evidence is real and verifiable. Names have not been changed, so that the guilty are identified. Please stay tuned to 90.1 FM, and maybe even tell your friends to listen as frequently as possible. Holla.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's get ready to rumble!
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
Suicide is a suicide.
My mother's mother's personal library had over 1,000 books, and her bedroom closet was cluttered with guns. As she helped raise her first grandson with a switch and a message, her patience was not to be tested. A nurse who taught two languages and expected her progeny to excel, quick to tell you tough titty, raised four children by moving back and forth between southern and northern cities, told my mother, no way. Yeah, you and that baby can move in, but ain't no grown man moving into my house on no day. No pity. The bosom was warm, but the gangster was gritty. Pretty girl, piano player, singer, matriarch, cared for her parents for years while secretly dying of cancer, but still never let anything tear her family apart. My grandmother, Eula English, was my heart. My mother's mother's mother was a school teacher. A black woman with a college degree in the 1930s and 40s, long before these underachievers came up with excuses, would do whatever she had to do to make sure her descendants didn't end up shiftless and useless, use candy to motivate the children in the neighborhood to study the Bible because she believed that that was where the truth is. Ruthless when disrespected, connected nouns and verbs to put your self-concept in check, could be expected to rip your ego apart. Named after a city in Texas, my great-grandmother, Galveston McNeil, was my heart. My mother's 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 mother was a rider, type to show up inside her son-in-law's living room and just take over, tell him, look, I'm like a general and I raised my daughter to only roll with soldiers. Born in 1882, transcended 3 years before my start, famous for lighting cigarettes and putting men in their places, my great-great-grandmother Sarah Gist was my heart. My father's mother was a social worker, a black woman with a college degree in the 1950s who bought a house for her siblings and her parents and raised her children to either get educated or get busy. Told her husband, look, if I'm going on a vacation, you could best believe my grandson is always coming with me. Comprehended. Told my mother, if anybody steps to my grandchild and gets knocked out, never punish him if he gets suspended. Just ask him how it'd start. My paternal grandmother, Flora Acey, was my heart. And my mother is a black nationalist with a master's degree in mathematics who's been programming computers since before they had keyboards. I'm talking punch cards. And didn't care about my rough housing in the street, but if I ever disrespected her, I got punched. Hard. And then hit with switches till I blacked out like them computer glitches. And if I came home with B's, she would make me study more to ensure I get the picture. Like tons of megapixels, she developed me to be sharp. Still my favorite person in the world, my mother, Jacqueline Acey, is my heart. I'm a father to my son, and I've been one since the beginning. But every advantage I've ever given him has been the product of five women.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
A newborn baby lost faith in humanity after a record 6 days. Chick-fil-A debuted its new homophobic sandwich, the Queer Hatin' Cordon Bleu. And Kim Jong-un was named the Onion's Sexiest Man Alive for 2012. And now a completely thorough 8,784-hour-long summation of 2012. This is the Onion Year in Review. In November, the hard-fought 2012 presidential campaign ended as a wholly and utterly defeated man emerged victorious. The shell of a man who won 332 electoral votes but completely lost faith in himself and the American people carried the crucial swing states of Ohio and Virginia while forfeiting the remaining shred of enthusiasm that once drove him. The defeated man will begin his second term on January 20th, 2013, when he will be triumphantly sworn in as president of a defeated nation. Responding to the inflammatory remarks regarding rape made by Republican politicians Todd Akin and Richard Murdoch, God distanced himself from the entire right-wing fundamentalist Christian movement this October, saying that he did not believe pregnancies result from his divine will. The Almighty Father went on to dismiss capital punishment, gun rights, the anti-abortion movement, and the efforts of the Westboro Baptist Church, while adding that he and Christian conservatives, quote, no longer saw eye to eye on the majority of issues. Pushed to the breaking point after constantly being taken to task without ever hearing a word of thanks for what it does around here, an overwhelmed and infuriated nation announced in February that it was trying, okay, Jesus Christ. A poll of the American populace revealed that 33% felt they were doing pretty damned well, thank you, while another 28% just wanted 2 freaking minutes without somebody breathing down their neck.
We're trying as hard as we can here. How about cutting some little slack for a change, huh?
You know what? This is just bullshit.
I do not need this.
Christ Almighty, sources added. In March, leaders from the alien world of Zarklom 12 announced that they would rescue innocent Syrian citizens since this world refuses to end the rampant bloodshed taking over the country. Supreme Emperor and dynastic overlord Thule told reporters that he could no longer sit idly by while humans continued turning a blind eye to the mounting casualties in the year-long uprising against President Bashar al-Assad. In July, Jack Nicholson, Leonardo DiCaprio, Tom Hanks, Denzel Washington, Daniel Day-Lewis, and a myriad of other public figures unexpectedly came out as gay. The announcement, which was followed by additional confessions from Woody Allen, Mark Zuckerberg, the Coen brothers, and Jackie Chan, was commended by President Barack Obama, who announced his support of Rob Reiner, Carl Reiner, Conan O'Brien, Prince Harry of Wales, 50 Cent, Utah Governor Gary Herbert, and Jack White, while also adding that he, his wife Michelle, and their 2 daughters are all gay. In science news, a coalition of researchers came together in January to announce that 1/3 of the world's population will have to die for the civilization to be sustainable, asking, quote, so how do we want to do this? And in July, physicists discovered that the entirety of our known universe is actually the fictional setting of a cop show called Hard Case. In 2012 sports news, the death of Penn State coach Joe Paterno prompted doctors to wait until the following day to tell their superiors, and the Summer Olympics ended in tragedy when Michael Phelps drowned. In other news, a Huffington Post employee was sucked into an aggregation turbine. The nation was horrified to learn about the war in Afghanistan while reading up on the Petraeus affair. And no one was murdered following the release of this image. Right now, you no doubt want to utter aloud, wow, what an incredible year. And frankly, we'd all rather you just shut the fuck up.
Let's move over to China now, as it has become home to the world's longest high-speed rail route, with the first bullet train leaving Beijing bound for the southern commercial hub of Guangzhou on Wednesday morning. Now, on average, trains will travel at speeds of 300 kilometers an hour. The line itself spans 2,300 kilometers, that is long, with 35 stops on the way, and it's cut the journey time from 22 hours down to around about 8, which is pretty good, isn't it? Now, let's have a look at the route itself. Trains will travel from Beijing to Guangzhou, as I said, passing through Zhengzhou, Wuhan, and Changsha.
Everywhere, like, such as?
Now, this link has the capacity to transport more than 200,000 passengers every day and is expecting to ease overcrowding during peak travel periods in particular. Local reports say it's also a chance for China's Railways Ministry, which has been dogged by scandals, to redeem itself somewhat. Railway, a crucial part of China's transportation system, and the government is planning to build a grid of such high-speed lines by 2020.
She may contain the urge to run away, but hold her down with soggy clothes and breeze blocks. Cetirizine, your fevers greet me again. Never kisses, or do you ever send a full stop? Do you know where the muffins go? They go along to take your honey. Way down our weed. Build a breakfast down and say my love, love, love. La 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 la, muscle to toe to toe. The bear has gripped me, but here I go. My heart sings as I can blow. Your anger's sad and my heart is shining.
No, your eyes don't deceive you. That really is a dog behind the wheel of a car. It's the culmination of several months of intensive training for 3 special pooches in New Zealand. It all began with the basics, like getting used to the gear stick, I assume it's an automatic, sitting in the driving position and learning to steer. After 5 weeks training, it was time for the next step. Doggy go-kart.
Accelerator on the steering.
Wait.
And driving.
Wait.
Good boy, that was great.
And once that was mastered, it was on to the real thing.
Turn. Good. Turn.
A brave trainer's in the passenger seat just in case Fido gets distracted by a passing rabbit. Having said that, it hasn't all been smooth driving.
We had a couple of days ago, the car was going too fast, the train nearly got run over, the car, you know, the braking, the dogs, you know, but no, we've got it all here now. There's no excuses. We've got to get in there and show that dogs can drive cars. It'll be Dial a Dog the week after this.
Do you know where the wild things go? They go on to take on you. Bring down our sleep, build our breakfast, now let's sleep, my love, love, love. She bruises clothes, she's blood as pistol shows. Hold her down with soggy clothes and breeze blows. She's morphine, queen of my vaccine. My love, love, love. La la la, muscle and toe to toe. The mirrors grip me, but here I go. Maud sings as I jump up.
To check the closet, those trendy skinny jeans, which are a fashion do, well, they could be a medical don't. Doctors say those tight pants can squeeze more than your silhouette. Their tightness can cause abdominal pain, heartburn, blood clots, and may temporarily pinch the nerves in hips, causing something called muralgia paresthetica.
The disorder that occurs when one of the nerves that runs in the outer part of a thigh gets compressed. And pressure on it causes symptoms of tingling, numbness, and pain.
Ouch!
She may contain the urge to run away, but hold her down with soggy clothes and breeze blocks. Germaline, disinfect the scene, my love, love, love. Please don't go, I love you so, my lovely.
The next 48 hours, my hope is that people recognize that regardless of partisan differences, our top priority has to be to make sure that taxes on middle-class families do not go up that would hurt our economy badly. We can get that done. Democrats and Republicans both say they don't want taxes to go up on middle-class families. That's something we all agree on. If we can get that done, that takes a big bite out of the fiscal cliff. it avoids the worst outcomes. If, you know, people start seeing that on January 1st, this problem still hasn't been solved, that we haven't seen the kind of deficit reduction that we could have had had the Republicans been willing to take the deal that I gave them. If they say that people's taxes have gone up, which means consumer spending is going to be depressed, then obviously that's going to have an adverse reaction in the markets. They say that their biggest priority is making sure that we deal with the deficit in a serious way, but the way they're behaving is that their only priority is making sure that tax breaks for the wealthiest Americans are protected. That seems to be their only overriding, unifying theme. And at some point, I think what's going to be important is that they listen to the American people.
Hey, I got $1 billion. How do I hold on to this? Where should I invest it? What do I do? What advice do you got for me?
Well, it's simple. Don't blow it. Keep it simple. Count your money.
All right. Thanks a lot. I'm out of here. Freaking ridiculous.
I have no problem with money. Who doesn't like money? It's good for buying things, you're giving to a stripper who you want to spend more time with, or buying things for a stripper friend, or paying off a stripper when she knows too much, or stuffing in a stripper's G-string. You ever tried to tuck compliments or a poem in a stripper's thong? It infuriates them. So I have no problem with money. Well, except for the fact that it's a measurement and we all treat it as if it's true wealth, and the debt inherent in it is a huge issue that we hardly get the point. But anyway, money has its good side. It's undeniable that many great things have been created in the pursuit of cash. But when things are done only for money, purely for dollars, that thing ends up sucking balls. When movies are done only for money, you get the Transformers and Battleship and Fast and Furious and Emptiness and A Pretty Dress. When theater is only for money, you get Spider-Man the Musical and Legally Blonde the Musical and Punch Me in the Throat and Drag My Earlobes Over Fossilized Coral Reef the Musical. When technology is only for money, you get weapons for war, speakers and earphones designed to break after 100 uses, and telephones that after 1 week are more obsolete than Jay Leno interviewing Pat Robertson. When medicine is done only for money, we get treatments rather than cures and prescription pills that cost more than blood diamonds. When healthcare is only for money, you get people yelling, "Let him die," at a poor person who needs a transplant. Political office only for money, you get the ripest group of well-dressed turd pile, snake oil selling snakes who would pawn their own child in exchange for a good rating from the gun lobby, yeast infections, beast conceptions, wrestling over who gets to be on Lucifer's side in the 5-on-5 Senate basketball game. Schooling only for money, you get for-profit scams indebting students to a lifetime of pointless, meaningless work they despise, placing their self-worth in a fantasy football game because they had their hope of affecting any small change in a tiny part of this world beaten out of them. Imprisonment only for money? We get countless millions locked away for petty crimes, destroying their lives for a bump in the prison industrial stock price. Armed conflict only for money? You get a state of infinite war. Why stop the gravy train, huh? Why kill the golden goose? Why take your fully loaded Glock of a cop out of the glory hole of an oil pipeline? Media done only for money? We get 6 propaganda-pushing conglomerates owning the entire landscape. Music only for money? Britney Spears, mass-produced, auto-tuned, auto-written, possibly ass-produced, totally forgettable shit-fest, the soundtrack of a dying civilization. TV only for money? You get the Big Bang Theory. Number one rated TV show. Making money our only motivation pushes us toward a civilization of war, imprisonment, and vapid nothingness. I'm not saying financial gain can't be a motivator, but why does it feel like we're getting to a point where it's the only motivator?
Yes,
continue to be encouraging signs that the U.S. housing market is recovering. Government figures for November show that construction on new homes was up 21.6% from a year ago. In California, you may be surprised at who's buying.
Chinese firms flush with cash have invested $16.4 billion in the U.S. in the past decade, $1.3 billion in California companies, a record $560 million in just the past year. The Chinese are also boosting the Golden State's housing recovery. They've bought one out of every 10 homes sold in the past year.
And again?
They've bought one out of every 10 homes sold in the past year.
And again?
They've bought one out of every 10 homes sold in the past year.
There's a way the cobwebs are.
A 100-year-old British man proves his running days are far from over. Indian-born Fauja Singh is now the oldest person to complete a full-distance marathon after finishing Sunday's 26.2-mile race in Toronto. It took him more than 8 hours to finish. Singh is no stranger to marathons. Sunday's race was his eighth. He ran his first at the ripe young age of 89.
HSBC, the banking giant, has escaped indictment for laundering billions of dollars from Mexican drug cartels and groups linked to Al-Qaeda. The bank reportedly supplied $1 billion to a firm whose founder had ties to Al-Qaeda and shipped billions in cash from Mexico to the United States, despite warnings the money was coming from drug cartels. Earlier this year, in a Senate investigation, concluded that HSBC provided a, quote, gateway for terrorists to gain access to U.S. dollars and the U.S. financial system. Despite evidence of wrongdoing, the Justice Department has allowed the bank to avoid prosecution and pay a $1.9 billion fine. No top HSBC officials will face charges. While it's reportedly the largest penalty ever paid by a bank, the deal has come under wide criticism. Officials reportedly agreed to seek the fine over concerns that criminal charges would have hurt the global financial system.
Get the fuck off!
Clears away the cobwebs.
Yeah.
An aquarium explodes in a Shanghai shopping center. CCTV captures the moment a 33-ton tank shatters, sending sharks into the crowd. Three lemon sharks and dozens of turtles and small fishes were killed in the incident. More than 16 people were injured. Police have launched an investigation into why it all happened.
Back in the day when pirates were the great outlaws, a country could attack another country and risk war, or they could covertly pay pirates to do it, which would make them privateers. For example, if the British wanted to attack a Spanish ship coming out of the Caribbean, they couldn't do it with an English ship with an English flag because that could start a war, and at that time Spain was really strong. So what they could do is pay off a pirate to do it. The pirate, who has a relationship to the royals, would be sharing their loot and paid by the state secretly. They would never attack British ships, they would only attack foreign ships, French, Spanish, whatever. And if a pirate attacks a ship and gets caught, they hang. No war. He did it as an individual. There's nothing they can do about it. This is a way the British could routinely attack Spanish ships covertly through privateers. All the Spanish could do was to continue to routinely capture individual pirates, try them, and hang them. And the British, of course, would act like they were trying to fight pirates too. The whole time, however, they had their own payroll with their own pirates who attacked who they asked them to attack. This system of privateering is exactly how our modern terrorist cells work. The United States and other nations payroll their own terrorist groups, such as Al-Qaeda. They'll attack the Russians in Afghanistan, they'll attack the Russians in Chechnya, they'll fight for us in Bosnia and Kosovo and wherever we tell them to, including the United States itself in a false flag operation. If a terrorist is caught or killed, so what? They're just a terrorist. But the fact that the CIA puts them on the payroll means they're our terrorists. They are modern privateers. You can look at Libya or Syria as an example. The U.S. paid off a bunch of Salafi jihadist religious nuts to go and do its fighting for them, and NATO did the air campaign in Libya. They couldn't do the same thing in Syria because of Syria's anti-air defense, but they've continually, through Qatar, Turkey, and Saudi Arabia, multiple countries note, as well as the same Salafi jihadists they used in Libya, moved the terrorists into Syria, called them the Free Syrian Army, and are terrorizing Syria. These are known terrorists, real terrorist organizations, and the privateers were often real pirates as well. But there are portions of them, especially in the leadership, which are being paid off by intelligence agencies. And the money for this comes from the drug war, because Congress can't appropriate money to say, hey, we're going to go pay terrorists with that. Even the CIA likes to lie. You say, well, why would they lie? They do. They probably could have just said F you world and gone ahead and did a war in Iraq, but they didn't. They lied about weapons of mass destruction and mobile labs and anthrax and yada yada. They're still at the point where they feel like they have to at least try to lie to us. And the CIA lies. Making everything secret also makes everything a lot more expensive and people more manipulatable. It's easy to control the middlemen this way. But they use the opium, the heroin from Afghanistan. It's used both in heroin and morphine, so legal and illegal drugs. But this money, the illegal drugs, is where they're using the black budgets for the black operations to pay off our privateers to hit targets without having to risk our own soldiers. This is why on 9/11 it was so confusing and strange that the FBI and the NSA and our different alphabet soup organizations were fighting internally with themselves to allow certain terrorists to live openly in the United States and blocking investigations into them because they were our terrorists. They are as a look-away list for our own privateers. Al-Hazmi and Al-Mihdhar are examples of this who had been used in the USS Cole bombing previously. Now it's up to you to think, did our privateers double-cross us, or was it the plan the whole time? You may ask, was that A, incompetence, because our government is incredibly stupid, B, malevolence, they planned the whole thing and they're genius and they pulled it off like that, or C, a portion of them know what's going on, majority of them are in the dark, and the faction puppeteering everyone else is using them because they surround themselves with dupes and incompetent people on purpose because they're easy to manipulate, and that's how our government works. I go with option C. This system of proxy wars and false flags and using mercenaries really escalated during the time of the Cold War. Because of the advent of the nuclear bomb and mutual destruction, the only way to really go to war any longer was to attack through proxy and to use mercenaries and to only attack nations that didn't have the bomb. Of course, they could be backed by other nations that did, which is why everyone is racing to get nuclear weapons. As we can all see what happened when Gaddafi decided not to, he ended up getting sodomized by a knife. But if you knock out the drug war, and we're talking about $64 to $65 billion a year annually from opium out of Afghanistan, you would pull the plug on the finances for a lot of these black operations. And people can see clearly, there is no grassroots revolution in Syria. These are paid off mercenary groups. And each party and each faction have different interests for wanting to topple the regime. But if you think it's too complicated for multiple nations to get together and use mercenary groups to attack other nations or themselves, think again. Syria is a very clear example. Iran-Contra is another example where multiple nations got together, secretly created a lot of money selling drugs and weapons, and paid off mercenaries to fight in a third country, in Nicaragua. And 9/11 worked very much the same way. Our own Al-Qaeda attacked the United States with the U.S.'s own help, and it was covered up by the same intelligence agencies that started it to begin with. It acted as the pretext for the War on Terror, which replaced the Cold War to justify all the massive military spending we've seen since, and the erosion of civil liberties and the rise of a despotic fascist police state. We have the highest number of incarcerations. The U.S. openly invades nations on paper-thin pretexts, murders millions of people, strips away our civil rights, tortures people, and can now throw you in prison indefinitely without so much as a trial or even a reason for why you were arrested. Also note that U.S. troops were pulled out of Saudi Arabia and Israel got what it wanted as Iraq was fed to the lions, just as they had desired.
50 members of a community in India said to be descendants of one of the biblical lost tribes of Israel have flown to Tel Aviv to settle there. The B'nai Menashe were recognized as one of the 10 lost tribes which fled Israel in the 8th century. Here's Jason Kay.
This journey home has taken nearly 3,000 years. The B'nai Menashe claim to be descended from a tribe of Jews who were exiled from Israel to India in the 8th century BC. Their claim was accepted by a chief rabbi in 2005.
The B'nai Menashe are descendants of the tribe of Manasseh, one of the 10 lost tribes of Israel, who were exiled from the land of Israel more than 2,700 years ago. Despite wandering in exile for so long, they never forgot who they are. They never forgot where they came from.
Allegations of child abuse at a U.S. military base. Two caregivers at an Army daycare center in Virginia are charged with assaulting children. And at least 30 other workers have been taken off to the job after background checks found that criminal records, including sexual assault and drug use. Military families are shocked and asking a lot of questions tonight. Barbara Starr has this exclusive out front investigation.
This little boy was supposed to be safe at an Army daycare center.
This happened to military families a stone's throw away from the Pentagon. If it could happen here, it could happen anywhere.
This military wife and mother of two doesn't want her face shown. CNN has also agreed not to show her children's faces or identify them by age.
Well, obviously, Barbara, I am concerned about the privacy of my children. And then there's always the possibility of retaliation against my husband.
It's every parent's nightmare, finding out her toddler was physically assaulted by child care workers at the Fort Myer Army Daycare Center. The scandal grew to the point President Obama made an unprecedented phone call to Army Secretary John McHugh to express his concern. According to this FBI affidavit, this little boy and others were punched and slapped. One child was dragged across the floor.
We thought, of all the different options, putting them in a child care facility during the day that was on a military base, that was pretty well staffed, would be the safest, most secure environment for them.
It all began back on September 26th when a parent reported misconduct. The Army quickly reviewed surveillance video and found several young children, all under the age of 5, were physically abused. Charges of simple assault were filed. But parents were still in the dark. 2 days later, on September 28th, they are handed a letter saying only that there is a report of alleged mistreatment and inappropriate behavior by staff.
All along this first week when we were being sort of given piecemeal information, denied access to the videotapes, we were also being asked if we wanted to seek medical care for our child.
Medical care for what?
For what? Obviously, we wanted to understand and see with our own eyes, since that evidence was available.
She was horrified when she finally saw the surveillance tape of her child.
Obviously, you don't ever want to see your child subjected to that kind of assault. These were the caregivers we entrusted them to every morning.
On November 7th, the Army started checking other employee records and found backgrounds including charges of sexual abuse of a minor, assault, and drug charges. On December 14th, 30 workers are suspended.
And again?
30 workers are suspended.
And again?
30 workers are suspended. But parents are still not told about those faulty background checks. This mother says she moved her children out of the Fort Myer Center.
And we believe that military families deserve better than this.
Get you up to date on the top stories. The female police officer who killed an American contractor in Afghanistan is described as an Iranian national whose Afghan husband helped her get citizenship there illegally. An Afghan Interior Ministry spokesman says he has no evidence linking her to terror groups with ties to Iran. More than 50 people have been killed just this year in so-called insider attacks by Afghan soldiers and police officers or attackers dressed just like them.
1, 2, 3, and I come with the wicked style. When you know that I'm from the wicked, come act like you knew, 'cause I got everybody jumping to the voodoo. Picket, wicked rhymes, picket signs. Why being the mob, got a truck full of nines. Rap ya and I'll strike ya. I got the mic up, I'm the hater. Ready to bump, bump, bump. And it's a must to duck, duck, duck before I bust. Looking for the one that did it, but like in bulk, no, you're never gonna get it, 'cause I'm the one with the fat man skills. And I won't jump like the Buffalo Bill, sitting at the pad just chilling, 'cause Larry Parker just got me 2 million. Oh, what a feeling. So shake that again and pass me the pill, and I'll slam dunk it like Shaquille O'Neal. Like it, dig it, maybe, and watch that test tube, baby, kick it.
Hundreds of tea plantation workers in northeast India have set fire to their boss's bungalow, burning him and his wife to death. Angry workers surrounded the manager's bungalow. This is a map for you, just so you know exactly where it is. It's Kunapatha in Tinsukia in Assam state. Now, they torched the building. They also torched two vehicles as well.
Police have charged a woman for pushing a man to his death in front of a subway train in New York. Erica Mendez was arrested after a member of the public recognized her from CCTV footage that had been released by the police. The video shows the 31-year-old running away from the station after the attack. Mendez has reportedly told detectives she pushed the victim, Sunanda Sen, because she hated Hindus and Muslims. She's been charged with second-degree murder as a hate crime. If convicted, Mendez could face a maximum penalty of 25 years in prison.
So
say nothing, just listen. Got me a friend of Ray Tyson out of prison. Come my way and get served. Still got a goose that'll run you off the curb. Nappy head, nappy chest, nappy chin. Never seen with a happy grin. Show them back frown, cause I'm down. Take a look around. What you see is big black boots. Stepping, you must still toe as a weapon. Kick your and flick your 91-2. Label this again. Take with the stick up. Digging out, girl, that's nice, deep. Yep, I got a body count like ice tea.
Very sad news this holiday weekend for U.S. Navy SEALs. The Navy is now investigating the death in Afghanistan of one of its most senior deployed SEAL officers as an apparent suicide, a U.S. military official tells CNN. Navy Commander Job W. Price, 42 years old, died December 22nd while serving as the commanding officer of SEAL Team 4, a group of more than two dozen commandos conducting combat operations in the southern region of the country. Now, while the death remains under formal investigation, that U.S. military official, who's directly familiar with the event, said the family has been notified of the death and has also been notified it is being investigated as an apparent suicide. There is no indication at this time that Commander Price was involved in any military-related investigations or any controversies, the official said. All indications are when he did not appear at an expected time, other military personnel went to look for him and discovered his body with an apparent gunshot wound.
A disturbing new record was set in Afghanistan this year as our military conducted 447 drone strikes in the war-torn nation in 2012, the most of any year ever. In fact, more drone strikes were carried out in Afghanistan this year alone than in Pakistan over the last 8 years. Countless thousands of Afghans have been killed in these strikes, and among them an unknown number of actual militants or terrorists, and an unknown number of civilians, including children. Our semi-covert drone warfare program in Afghanistan is a direct result of what happened on 9/11. And our military leaders, our president, and most of our elected members of Congress all agree that these drone strikes are necessary to keep Americans safe. In this effort, President Obama has his own kill list, and he's authorized deadly strikes against American citizens abroad without first affording these individuals a trial. In response to terrorism, we have killer drones, plus all the trappings of a surveillance state here at home.
I have two words for you.
Predator drones.
You will never see it coming.
You think I'm joking?
I want to know how come I got a gat and I'm looking out the window like Malcolm. Ready to bring that noise. Kind of trigger happy like the guitar boys. April 29th, boys, power to the people. And we might just see a sequel. Cause police got equal hate. A horse is a pig that don't fly straight. Throwing down gates, but it's Willie Williams. Down with the pill.
At least six people have been killed and 48 injured by an explosion outside the main railway station in the Pakistani city of Karachi. Police say a bomb was planted on a bus near the station, while a provincial official has said the device was left on a motorbike and exploded as the bus passed by. A doctor at the local hospital says eight of the wounded are in a critical condition. Karachi has seen numerous militant attacks over the last 10 years and is also plagued by violence between rival ethnic-based factions. I'm
According to sources, returning U.S. Army Captain Martin Bauman completely surprised his six-year-old daughter Jessica earlier this morning by coming home with a litany of crippling psychological problems. Arriving home after a nine-month tour of duty in Afghanistan, Bauman celebrated an emotional reunion with Jessica, who reportedly had no idea her father was returning scarred from nearly being killed in combat, racked with the anxiety of his next tour, and forever haunted by the images of soldiers in his company being blown to pieces by a suicide bomber. In other news, McDonald's begins printing its calorie count right on the meat. Kim Jong-un's wife escapes North Korea in a long-range missile, and Mumford & Sons can't believe they all got each other mandolins for Christmas.
You know, people talk about the human mind as if it's like the arbiter of human awareness and perception. It isn't. This is why it's so important to get across, for people to realize what the nature of this reality is that we're experiencing. This is quite provably, when you look at the science, it's obvious. We live in a virtual reality universe. It's like a three-dimensional holographic version of the internet. If you go on the internet in Australia or South Africa or South America or Los Angeles, you're all accessing the same collective reality through the computer. Well, we, in our prime state, are consciousness, not form, but awareness. And this awareness experiences this tiny frequency range we call this world, just a tiny frequency range called visible light, through a interface called body-mind. If I want to go on the internet, I can't just go on the internet. I have to have a conduit to go on the internet, a computer. And even then, I don't go on the internet. The computer does. I observe the internet through the computer. This is what consciousness, awareness, the real eternal self that these religious teachings talk about, etc., and non-religious teachings too, talk about. This eternal self, some people call it soul, whatever you want to call it. And if you hold that awareness to that higher level of self, you're in this world, if you like, physically and experiencing it, but your point of observation is outside of this manipulated reality. And through the lens of body-mind, you can see things that the body-mind in this world and of it cannot see. And the more the system, when you study it from cradle to grave, be it education, media, all these things, they're all, even religion to a large extent, is designed to pull our focus of attention into body-mind. It's the same, a very good analogy is you're on the internet and suddenly the computer takes control of what you think of the internet, where you go on the internet, and the decisions you make. And the more entrapped you are in mind-body perception, i.e. the five senses, and look at society, it's all about pulling us into the five senses. Look at this, listen to this, taste this, feel this, all trying to hold us in the five senses. The more entrapped you are, the longer it takes, the more powerful the transformation has to be for you to wake up, open your mind, and go to higher levels of your awareness. What has been happening, I've seen this all over the world, I've been to 50 countries, it's happening everywhere over the last 20 years, is more and more people are going through this process, they call it transformation, whatever, where they open their mind and they let their true self, consciousness, in. Now, consciousness is looking from this perspective, mind's looking from here, and that's why they want to keep us entrapped in mind-body perception, because we're looking here, we can see one dot, maybe two dots at a time, we can't connect the dots and see what's going on. Once you become conscious beyond body-mind, suddenly, ooh, I can see how it fits together now. I've come across people only recently who've gone from this to this in literally weeks. Why couldn't I see it before? They say it's so obvious, because you were there before and now you're there, that's why it's obvious. And so this fork in the road where people are deciding, are they going to keep on the way we're going and end up in this fascist control system, or are they going to go this way and break out into true freedom? In many ways, this
fundamentally, not in many ways, this fork on the road in the road is, are you going to stay in mind and think you are Fred Jones, born in Pittsburgh in 1942, that's who you are? Or are you going to open your mind to who you really are, which is consciousness, infinite, eternal consciousness, having an experience as that man, born in 1942, whatever I said. And that's the difference. Once you realize that our name, our job, our experience is just that, an experience, and we are consciousness, that change of point of perception, point of observation of this world, transforms everything. You go from this to this, and you can see what the control system doesn't want us to see, and that's why the control system is absolutely structured to hold us in that state. The power of human consciousness is demonstrable by the fact that despite all the things that are thrown at us, the cradle-to-grave programming, vast numbers and an exponential curve of numbers are now waking up from it. And it's this awakening that is going to bring this control system down. Not tomorrow, not next year, not the year after, not in 2012 like so many people kind of talk about, but I reckon about 2016, this awakening will have reached the point where the tipping point comes and this control system comes down, because the control system is absolutely founded completely in terms of its existence on humanity being there and not there. And they may seem confident and arrogant, and it may seem like that, and it will seem that for a few years, but it's coming down, and it's coming down because humans are waking up.
You be you, whatever you is, and respect everyone else's right to be them. And the people between that and that are our generations. If we can let go of our own fear, we can remove fear from the world. Because the world is merely the sum total of human imagination of ourselves. When we change our imagination of ourselves, what we call the world dramatically changes. The world is just a second-by-second physical replica of the human mass imagination of ourselves. When we let go of our sense of limitation, our sense of fear, our sense of I can't, the world ceases to be a prison because we have created it. There's a wonderful singer in this country, a German called Gila, who, it's a lovely song, which goes, "We are the power in everyone. We are the dance of the moon and the sun. We are the hope that will never hide. We are the turning of the tide." If we can turn the tide within ourselves, from freedom or to freedom, from fear, then we turn that tide outwardly in the planet. And all it is, like everything else, is a choice. A choice between fear and love. That's all it is. We can choose to be frightened. We can choose to hate. It's a choice. Or we can choose not to fear, and we can choose to love. Not love on the basis of "I love you if I fancy you, darling," but "I love you because you exist. I love you whatever. I love you without condition." And if we want to change the world, it has to start with self. Fear, anger, hatred, condemnation, dictating what other people should be, that's the world we've got. That's the prison. But paradise is waiting. It's a thought, an attitude away. That's all it is, a choice away. Love. We love each other and love the world. Our lives are fundamentally changed, and the world is fundamentally changed. And we are the generations, strange as it may seem when you survey the world today, we are the generations, I passionately believe, who are going to love the world into the paradise it really should be and was always designed to be.
Elvis is now officially the oldest man in the world. 115-year-old Jerome Nakamura from Japan inherited the title after the death of American Dinah Manfredini. Dinah had only been given the accolade 2 weeks ago by the Guinness World Records, but sadly passed away on Monday. Kimura, who lives near Kyoto, was born just 15 days after Dinah on the 19th of April 1897. The former postal worker now lives with his family and has 25 great-grandchildren and 13 great-great-grandchildren.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung. And may you stay forever young. May you stay forever young. May you grow up to be righteous. May you grow up to be true. May you always know the truth and see the light surrounding you. May you always be courageous, stand upright and be strong. And may you stay forever young. And may you stay forever young.
GoFindTheOthers.com.
Don't blow it. Keep it simple. Count your money.